Welcome to the next session of Tech Law 10. Thank you so much for joining us. We're pleased to have you back, and we're happy to talk to you. This is Eric Sinrod, partner at Duane Morris in San Francisco, and I'm joined by...
I'm Jonathan Armstrong, and I'm with Duane Morris in London.
That's true. So we talk to you weekly about the intersection of law and information technology. And Jonathan, I know that you've been considering issues relating to cookies, not those little sweets that we eat, but otherwise, and issues relating to them in Europe. What do you have to say this week, Jonathan?
Yeah, thanks for that, Eric. Cookies is a topic, obviously, that we've discussed a little bit on Tech Law 10 before, but the big news in Europe this week is that the new changes to the law on cookies, which are meant to come in most of Europe in just 2 months' time, don't seem to be ready. And it looks like most of the 27 countries that are in the EU might miss the deadline in one form or another. So let me first of all declare an interest in that we have done some work on behalf of some industry bodies in looking at these laws in detail and in joining in the consultation process. But I have to say, the whole process does look to be what we'd call in the UK, I don't know whether you have the expression, Eric, a pig's breakfast.
It does not sound very appetizing, no.
No. So what's meant to have happened is that in May, we're meant to have got new laws on cookies, which regulate whether cookies should be opt-in and opt-out, and the degree of the opt-in, opt-out. What happens in Europe is the European Commission issue, if you like, framework legislation, and then each of the 27 member states has got to introduce their own legislation, which interprets the EU legislation. I hope you're still following. It's a complex process. And that's where the issues lie, really. The EU directive is about as clear as a thick, old-fashioned London fog. And it has varying degrees of what might be opt-in and opt-out. And each of the local governments are trying to work out exactly what the directive and its recital means. So the UK, for example, have had a consultation process which for various reasons has switched from one government department, Business Innovation and Skills, to a second government department, Department for Culture, Media and Sport. Now, the BBC said this week that it looks as if no country in Europe will hit the 25th May deadline for its new legislation, and it looks like the UK government is saying that it'll do something before the 25th of May, but that its technical guidelines might not be ready. And a lot of the pressure groups are kicking up a lot of a fuss, saying that the legislation should have been out long ago. But it seems to me this was always an ambitious timetable, particularly when you're trying to change technology, and particularly where the EU is a relatively small part of the picture on things like cookies. Sure, most of the big websites operate here as they do in the US, but their markets are bigger, generally speaking, outside of Europe than in Europe. And if Europe is asking for special things to be done with respect to cookies, then that's very dangerous in the current economic climate, because it just stands to reason that if you're a smaller market for a company, you're less deserving of it, of attention than a big market. And the other thing that I've written on before is we oughtn't to get this out of proportion. In the UK, for example, we already have substantial powers to discipline people who trade on the internet and deceive people. So if you've got a privacy policy which says you don't do cookies, and you do, you can be subject to dawn raids, information gathering exercises, and 2 years in jail on conviction. And to put that into context, DWI, we call it drink driving in the UK, is a maximum of 6 months in prison. So cookies are already regarded as four times a worse evil than drink driving. Now, whether we say that perspective is right or not, it seems to me that it's certainly wrong for most of the lobbyists to say that cookies aren't unpunished. I'm not in any way lessening the evils that cookies can do, but to my sense of perspective, I don't know about you, Eric, not four times more serious than drink driving. And these transparency laws exist, and I think in the U.S. you've used them in the Sears case, didn't you? The Federal Trade Commission were involved in that, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the issue here, you know, and by the way, you've sort of mentioned earlier, you know, the whole concept of opt-in and opt-out, and, you know, maybe that's another discussion, but my experience has been, and my impression has been, that Europe actually is more protective of privacy rights, and it's more of an opt-in regime, generally speaking, whereby, you know, if personally identifiable information is going to be dealt with in a certain way, there needs to be, you know, affirmative consent by the user or the consumer, whereas in the United States we have sort of more of opt-out. We tend to protect speech more than we do via our First Amendment in the Constitution as opposed to privacy. When it comes to cookies, you know, I mean, what we have here is, you know, it's really about, you know, full and fair and open disclosure and not being misleading. And the quickest way to get in trouble with our Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, is to make certain, you know, representations and not follow through appropriately. I remember back in the day when companies were first developing their privacy policies, and I would talk to companies, I would explain that, you know, you're almost better off not having a policy whatsoever than having this platinum privacy that, you know, supposedly promises, you know, tremendous protections and safeguards for private information that aren't fulfilled, because that's where you are now setting the standard. And recently the FTC has been dealing with Sears here in the United States about its disclosure on its use of cookies, and the FTC apparently is concerned that while Sears has been making some representations, apparently they have not been as transparent as they should be to give the consumer the full scope of knowledge in terms of how the cookies will be used as to them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think that must be the right approach. I mean, I think, to use modern parlance, people should just chillax about it a little bit. The proposal that we put on behalf of some of our clients to the UK consultation and to the EU consultation was a sort of enhanced browser settings and enhanced concentration on disclosure. So what's new in Europe is that Explorer, Internet Explorer, is now the minority browser, or it doesn't have a majority, because the European Commission took antitrust actions against Microsoft. Microsoft has less than 50% market share, and there are independent studies which confirm that browser settings are one of the ways in which the browsers are competing. And without getting too technical, some of the newer browsers like Mozilla Firefox are trying to sell the way in which they deal with cookies and websites as a reason why you would use their browser as opposed to Explorer. And obviously Microsoft are taking their own measures to deal with cookies, as is the industry. You know, Yahoo and a lot of the well-known e-commerce properties are also taking their own measures to give enhanced disclosure. So it's not like the olden days where these things used to go on and you didn't know about it. And I think my view is that most of the regulators should concentrate on people who are saying one thing and doing another, rather than making cumbersome new rules which will just strangle some e-commerce sites in their infancy.
Well, very good. We're now pretty much at the end of our time. I've now learned a new expression, pig's breakfast, although I'm glad to hear you sound like my teenage daughters when you use the expression chillax. So at this point, we will chillax on this particular podcast. Thank you so much for joining us at Tech Law 10. We will endeavor to be back to you next week. We are certainly interested in your feedback and your input and your suggestions for other topics. I can be reached at ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. Jonathan can be reached at his email address, which is
jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. And we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook. Send us a cookie. And do get in touch if you want to hear any more about this subject or any others. Let us know.
Thank you so much. Until next time, goodbye.